More than 60% of Americans accept that global warming is happening. It's no surprise that in the ocean state, that percentage is higher, 92%. At a bus stop in Providence, the handful of people we spoke to recognize human activity is driving the rapid pace of the Earth's warming, but they'd like to learn more. Clara Logan, for example, still has questions about how rapidly changes are happening.
Definitely still some things I'm trying to understand and that I feel that I could be more informed on, especially just like the macro effects of how quickly things are going to devolve and what that means for our future.
Camila Madawi says she just knows the basics.
I know it has a lot to do with the gases that we are emitting, particularly carbon dioxide. Aside from that, I don't know very much about it.
But for Jonah Newman, knowing just the basics is enough.
As long as you understand that carbon is being put into the atmosphere and that the sunlight, when it comes through the atmosphere, can't get back out because of the carbon, and that's what's causing the warming of the planet, that's fundamental enough to understand.
And Newman is right. The issue of global warming does really come down to that, the energy budget of the Earth, how much energy comes in and how much energy goes out. Naturally occurring greenhouse gases, like carbon dioxide, methane, and water vapor, absorb energy and trap heat. They make life possible on Earth. Those gases protect the planet from getting too hot or too cold. But since the Industrial Revolution, humans have been putting excess carbon dioxide into the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels like oil, coal, and natural gas. That's causing the average temperature of the whole planet to warm and changing the climate system.
And it's pretty well established that there's a strong relationship between greenhouse gas concentrations and global temperature.
That's John King, an oceanography professor at the University of Rhode Island. He studies climate records on timescales of decades to centuries to millions of years. Now, King says, carbon dioxide concentrations in the Earth's atmosphere are nearly 400 parts per million.
Usually during a warm time, the CO2 concentration is no higher than about 280 parts per million. We're already almost 50% higher than the highest CO2 concentration that's existed for the last 800,000 years.
King says we have good data from ice cores on historic global temperatures and historic CO2 concentrations. Scientists drill these long tubes into ice sheets to gather those data.
In these old ice cores, there are gas bubbles frozen in the ice that we can thaw the ice, analyze the concentration of greenhouse gases in those gas bubbles, and then we know what the concentration was in the atmosphere at various points back in time. And we're way over the highest level that's naturally observed. So when people say, oh, well, climate variation is natural, that's true, but we've exceeded the boundaries of variation that the natural system can produce. And the way that that's happened is by combustion of fossil fuels.
Our climate is affected by the atmosphere, ocean, and land, and changes in any one of these can influence the overall climate system. King says the excess CO2 emissions are disrupting the system.
You know, when you see Katrina, you see Sandy, you see major droughts in various parts of the country, and people say, oh, well, that's just the weather. Well, they're right if it was a single event. But once you see a higher frequency of extreme events, that's the climate.
We can also project how much the seas will rise because sea levels go up and down as we go in and out of ice ages. King says in the Northern Hemisphere, the waxing and waning of ice sheets has been an important process for the past 2.6 million years. So it's predictable. There are two main sources of sea level rise. The first is warming temperatures cause the seawater to warm, and as it warms, it expands, taking up more space. And the second source is melting ice sheets, or land-based ice, in Greenland and West Antarctica. He says about 130,000 years ago, when the CO2 concentrations were at 280 parts per million, part of the Rhode Island coastline used to be at the base of Charlestown, close to where Route 1 is today.
We're approaching 400, and we know that we get 20 feet of sea level rise if we exceed, say, 270, 280 for a long period of time. You know, the sea level rose that 20 feet over thousands of years.
In other words, King says if humans continue to emit high concentrations of carbon dioxide, we're likely to melt the Greenland ice sheet in a matter of hundreds of years rather than thousands. He says humans would be stuck with high sea levels for thousands of years because the ice sheets don't reform as fast as they melt. There are two other factors that directly affect our region, notes King. Both the Greenland ice sheet and the Gulf Stream pull water away from our coasts, kind of like a magnet. And the Gulf Stream is that warm and salty ocean current that moves through the Atlantic Ocean from the Caribbean. Our region would likely get a couple of extra feet above the global sea level rise that's expected if the Greenland ice sheet melts and dilutes the Gulf Stream.
So it's a real concern, since so much of our population and economic activity is concentrated at the coast.
These historic records of climate, sea level, and greenhouse gas concentrations carry a message of urgency. In Rhode Island, the state has set ambitious emission reduction targets. It's also updating flood maps and conducting vulnerability assessments. Homeowners and businesses are moving or elevating their buildings in some cities and towns. But countries are still negotiating how to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. Amber Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.